We are up to the Kitzer van Hagos Horos Isser Vehetzer. There is a large Pilpul van Hagos Horos Isser Vehetzer, but the Tlachim Luchuvos here goes on the Kitzer van Hagos Horos Isser Vehetzer, so that's what I've been following. So we're up to those van Hagos, we're up to number three.
What page?
Kuf Samach. In the Shulchan Aruch section. Okay, so last time we were discussing the issue of Safik Deoraisa L'Chumra, Safik Derabanan L'Kula, right? Deoraisa, you have to go stringently, Derabanan, we go leniently, and if there is a Machlokas, so where that would slide you. So one might think, oh yeah, so when it's a Din Derabanan, if there is a Machlokas on it, we should always go leniently. So the Shach did not paskin that way. The Shach paskin, no, when it's a Din Derabanan, we would paskin according to the bigger Talmud Chacham, or Rove, according to the majority. But we would reserve the minority opinion for what we refer to as a Shasat Chak. And that's where we pick up tonight. The Shach wants to say, okay, so what is considered Shasat Chak? What's considered a difficult circumstance that would permit us to follow a more lenient opinion? So in number three it says, "V'shasat chak haynu dafku makom hefsed meruba." That a shasat chak would be a place where there is a large loss, presumably a large loss of funds. O behefsed muat la'ani, or if it's a small loss to a poor person, b'davar chashiv o la'ashir, or to a wealthy person l'chavut Shabbos v'yom tov o l'chavut orchim. So there could be a leniency for if you are a wealthy person that loses a lot of money, a poor person who would lose a small amount of money, or for the help of Shabbos Yontif, or for the sake of guests. So if one has those types of people coming, guests coming over, Shabbos Yontif, and you wouldn't have the opportunity otherwise, what is the right to be makel? And for all prohibitions except for those in the category of Yai Nesach, if you could sell to non-Jews and not lose a lot of money, lo mikri hefsim ruba. It's not referred to as a hefsim ruba. That even though it is a, one would lose all of their revach, all their profit, if you're not going to lose the principal, so then you're going to be okay. So we just losing a principal of some, losing the profits off of something, as long as you maintain your principal, according to the Shach, is not an issue. Now I would add in that that comes off often with regards to things like working on Chol HaMoed, working Velus, or having work done during Avelus, those kinds of things. And there is a general kula that exists, Bizman Hazeh, that if a person is working, they almost always have overhead costs. Unless you are, I don't know, selling like mezuzahs and tefillin, things like out of your house. If you have an office, if you have a staff, if you have ongoing responsibilities for other types of leases or things that are going on, so that any time you're not working, you're automatically in the loss. So that heter is invoked for things like working on Chol HaMoed and things like that.
I mean, if you're employed by somebody, that wouldn't necessarily work for only if you're...
No, well, there
you
it's...
have a business.
Right, if you have a business, you're going to have expenses. Even if you work for somebody, you would be losing by taking off. What would you be losing? Your off days. Right. So that's a bit of an issue. Meaning, I think, in our learning Hilchos Chol Moed, I believe Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he talks about off days, where he says, yeah, in theory, one should use all your off days for Chol Moed. But if that's going to then mean that you are then stuck in specific ways, or you know, you'll have monthly, whatever it is, if that's not going to work for you, so then in theory, you can, I think, you know, you could work and take your off days at other times. Okay, so that's the issue of Shasachak. Now, there is a discussion here. We actually came across it a couple of years ago. I think I only have four copies here, though. One of the main, if you can pass those out, one of the main Meir Makomos on this issue of Hefsid Meruba is actually, of what is considered a Shasachak or a Hefsid, is actually in Yerodeya, in Chelek Aleph, Halacha Lamed Simon. There's Lamed Aleph for Lamed Beis now, and it's shaven off the top.
It's cut off, yeah.
Yeah, it is. There it is. Yerodeya Siman Lamed Aleph Sifkatan Beis. Sifkatan Beis starts at the top. It came pre-underlined because we actually covered this. Sifkatan Beis Pischei Tshuva Lamed Aleph Sifkatan Beis. So we, I opened up, and we had already, it was already marked up. because we learned this together when we learned Hilchos Yayin Nesach. Hilchos Yayin Nesach has a specific heter for Hefsin Meruba. I'm wondering, okay, so what is considered Hefsin Meruba? So we're sent to this Pisgei Tshuva. But here he goes through the details and some interesting issues that come up with that. So if you look here at the very top, there's a couple words on the previous page. But then he says, how much is called Hefsin Meruba? The Hefsin Shiva, Simon and Hey, no sin klavaze. The Hefsin Yoser Mishtus Bekeren Mikri Hefsin Meruba. If it's more than a sixth of the principle, that's already called the Hefsin Meruba. So I mean, he tries to put out a number on this. But some disagree. And you're only going to lose one zahav, meaning you're going to lose one coin. So that's already a Hefsin Meruba. You lose something's a dollar, costs $1.50, and now as a result of some kind of chumra, you're going to lose a quarter on it, right? So you say, oh, Hefsin Meruba. That's not Hefsin Meruba. Hefsin Meruba. There's a. It's kind of a mix of objective and subjective as to what you're going to try to do, what you're going to try to label as Hefsin Meruba.
Oh, you said for the Ani,
right. I mean, here he's talking about the object that you're going to lose, meaning by saying that you can't eat that pot of soup, so how much are you going to lose? Right? So is it a ramen noodle soup or is it a chicken soup? Right, so that you've already spent several hours working on. So he's suggesting it can't just be, oh, 1/6, a percentage point. Let's say something costs 600 gold coins. And we're going to say, oh, because of that, you're going to have to lose 99 coins. Right? Nesar. We're going to say, oh, that you're going to be usher. So one pace, we're going to say, oh, you're going to lose a quarter. That's considered a Hefsin Meruba. But now we're going to turn around and say, oh, and you who are going to lose $99, that's not considered a Hefsin Meruba anymore. Right? That's not going to, that doesn't fly, suggests the Pisgei Tshuva. The Einze Ela Hefsin Muat, be a Milsa the Rabbanan Kechocha V'Tfliya. Can they make the Rabbanan appear like a joke? Like a joke. Yeah.
Okay. In the first one, we looked at the main distinction between someone who's rich and somebody who's poor.
Yeah.
Now, if there's expensive soup,
right,
and a more simple soup, well, that actually already now takes into account that objectifies
yeah.
the rich and the poor. Now, for the poor person to lose a little bit of his ramen soup could be just as devastating, yeah. right? So, I mean,
right. That's why the Pisgei Tshuva was rejecting it. Yeah, that's what he's really rejecting it, right? And he continues, right? He says there's other. This is being quoted from the Nachlas Shiva, I believe, right? Nachlas Shiva, and he says there's other Nachlas Shivas that seem to be that already contradict that. And he says Va'ala the ein lezeh davar katzav, right? That there's no rule, right? Va'kolafi rose ene hamora, right? It's all based on the opinion of the posek. According to the time, according to, well, I'm not sure the difference between Is and Zman. It depends on the person. If he's going to call it a big loss, so then it's called a big loss. Other people might not be considered a big loss. What? Yeah, right. So Miles is on the ball. So Vayin B'tshuvas Moragadol Rabbi Kiva Egersov Simon Mem Gimel Shekasav Shuma Supak B'Kamen Yonin D'Makilim B'Hefsim Ruba. He has a couple of questions on this. Kamo Right V'id the Smicha B'Mayim Zachim Im Hatevach Shacha Beis O Gimel Behemos V'Haya B'Kulam Beis Boy the Smicha B'Be What's the Mem Zayin B'Be Something. Uvinyan chad the behema lo havi hefsim ruba rak beis v'gimel hafsid have rak beis v'gimel havi hefsim ruba imzeo mikri hefsim ruba. What he's saying is, if you have, let's say, you have two or three animals, and are they all judged independently? Meaning, if he loses one animal, it's not a big deal. But that same issue, whatever that issue is, that same issue is going to cause him to lose all three animals. So do we call? Do we treat it all independently and say animal by animal? Is this animal a Hefsin Meruba? No. Is this animal a Hefsin Meruba? No. Is this Hefsin Meruba? Well, so now you use the whole thing. Or do we say, no, based on that psak, you're going to end up losing all three? That already is considered a significant loss. So that's issue number one.
I'm trying to understand that, because you can only take one, you take 1/6 and 1/6, 1/6, 1/6. I'm not sure.
I think we're rejecting the 1/6. I think the physician rejects the 1/6. Now Rekiva Eger turns around and says, okay, so when we have this Shaila, so we have this principal Shaila You know, everybody, well, that's already another
question.
Had,
how many animals did he have that you were saying he lost three animals?
I mean, we're forget about the 1-6. It's not about 1-6.
No, I'm just saying, but how many animals did he have?
I don't know. It doesn't, it's not part of the question. The question is, he loses one, it's not a big deal. You're going to make him lose three, it is a big deal. All right, so do we judge it animal by animal, or do we look at it as one question that's going to affect all three of them? Yeah, I don't think he answers it. He says, he does. He says you could be makel on that. So it comes out, what about if you have three animals of three different people? Pashut that filubo kulam bevas achas lifnei amora v'tzarech lifsul al kulam, right? The trefa lo havi hefsim meruba, right? V'ein lahakel. So if three people, so you can have a situation where, and this is where Kivir Eger says is, I think, correct. If three people all show up with their, I think these, this, certainly this pisket shuva is in Hilchos Trefos. So that's probably where the most common issue where this comes up. So they all, everybody comes with a lung that looks in a particular way. So if one guy shows up with three animals that have that type of lung, so then what's going to happen? He's going to lose all three. So we're going to call that Hefsim Ruba. What if three people show up, each with their own animal, and each one has a lung that has that problem? So the rabbi's going to say, it's not a loss for you, it's not a loss for you, and it's not a loss for you, right? And he's going to say that it's then usher under those circumstances, right? That's his, it turns out. So it sounds a little odd, but these are all, we're all in Durabanan land here anyways. So we're showing how do we define Hefsim Ruba? So it's going to be based on is the person asking the shah, is it considered a Hefsim Ruba to him? Whatever we got here. Al kulam the treifa lo havi hefsim ruba. Ein lahakel v'efshar duhu adin afilu behema achas v'hi shel shutrin. Even if it's one animal, it's owned by partners. V'ilu ha'is shel echad. If it was owned by one person, hay hefsim ruba. Rakashish u'shel shutrin ein lahakel. But now it's owned by partners, so each one's not going to lose so much. Therefore, it's not going to be considered hefsim ruba. And then he has
a partnership, and it's a formal partnership. Yeah,
unless it is.
And they're sharing the.
Right.
The
right. But we're looking at the person. Is it a hefsid to the person asking the shayla? I think that's the question. Is my psak going to be a major loss for a person? So if they say, well, we're partnering, it's not we can handle the loss. So they can handle the loss, right? But if it's, no, let's say one of his partners rich and one partner's poor. One guy's like, I can't handle the loss. One guy can't. I don't know, he doesn't answer that question. Are we going to rule his stake in the ownership is kosher and his stake is possible, is not kosher? I don't know. I didn't actually see, I just thought about that question now. I don't know. There's another issue. V'ayim b'tshuva is chsam sefer. This is the piskei. So piskei tshuva now moves on. That was all Rabbi Kivi Eger. Now he has another issue, and it's shavu b'ayim piskei tshuva l'orachaim. He says sham right shelo hutter behefsim meruba el lebal habehema. This is an interesting issue, right? The only heter for a hefsim meruba is for the owner of the animal, right? Ulevnei veso and for his family. Mishum hefsedo because it's his loss. Aval acherim. Right, but other people, lama yiknami menu, why could they buy from him l'chachila? V'karu vadai shemechuyev lahudiyam, v'im lahudiyam u'machar stam, efshar hava mum b'mekach, v'chozrin, he could back out. Right, so now you have a very difficult situation. Right, some guy comes and says, I bought this animal, I want to eat it, can I eat it? Right, he says, oh, well, it's a question. Right, well, I already spent 500 bucks on whatever it is, for $100. That's a big loss for him. All right, we'll mock you to eat it. What if the butcher comes, right? And the butcher comes and says, "Hi, this animal has a shayla on it." Okay, well, what if we rule it? It's unquestionable. Yeah, but if you rule it puzzle, it's going to be a major loss for me. Oh, the rule of kosher. So now can he go on and sell it to somebody else?
Well, that's all the point of making kosher.
Exactly. So Sam Sofer is saying, no, that this whole heter only works for you. It doesn't work. You can't go and sell your sub-standard kosher meat to somebody else. Right? That's what he says. And he says, and even to tell them, and if they don't tell anybody, and he sells it, and it turns out later that he sold something that was not so great, so then it ends up that there is a, that could be a problem, and he could actually ask for his money back. Now, that already is a little bit of a question on that. I think we actually...
He'd sell off tonight that he gets permission to use it.
what do you mean?
Well, the other guy's, because he's expecting people to ask for that.
This right.
Guy who buys it, they ask for that.
Yeah. Now, we actually, we had this, there's a famous nesivus that we discussed in shul a couple of years ago, that about the issue, I didn't review this before, about the issue of if you sell treif meat to somebody, and you sell meat, not knowing, you know, and it turns out that it was treif meat, right? So can the person ask for his money back? Is that considered mekach tos? So the Nesivos Paskin says it's a question whether it's Doraisa or Durabana. And if it was Doraisa treif meat, so you thought you were buying kosher meat and you couldn't have eaten it and you shouldn't have eaten it, and therefore you don't get any benefit, and therefore you could get your money back. But if it's Durabana treif meat, the Nesivos suggests that there's no, you benefited from the meat and you don't have to do tshuva on it. And there's a famous Nesivos post of that principle, that he says that if you violate an Isser Durabanan Bishogeg, you didn't do anything wrong. Because an Isser Durabanan is not about the issue of eating rabbinic treif meat. The issue of violating a Din Durabanan is that you chose not to listen to the rabbis. And here you listened to the rabbis. You did everything you were supposed to do. So you ate it. Okay. So you violated, you ate meat that is kosher level of the Torah. You listened to the rabbis. You're good to go. You can't demand any money back from the shochet, from the butcher, from the guy who sold it. And Bob is not happy.
No.
But he ate it already.
So how did he listen to the rabbis?
He listened to the rabbis that he bought from a good hutcher.
Oh.
He didn't listen to the rabbis by accident. He didn't know.
Gotcha.
Right? That deceives whether that's...
So it's a shoge because he didn't... I gotcha.
Yeah. So there are...
But he ate it. He got benefit from it.
Exactly. So if he
can't give it back. It's like returning to go to your restaurant.
No, but if it was an Isser Doraisa, if it was a real treif meat, he could demand his money back.
Suppose somebody would have told him after he bought it.
What?
Suppose somebody would have told him after he bought it.
Right. Then you wouldn't eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. Then you could ask for your money back. Okay. So I'm not sure what the scenarios that the Chassam Sofer here is working with, because in order to have this discussion of Hefsim Ruba, it has to be an Isser Durabana. So,
but let's say he didn't eat it. He realized that it was treif meat or a bun.
Then he could return it.
So then he could return it. Mm-hmm. The meat's still there, mm-hmm. Right? The problem is if he ate it. So can he demand money back for food that was eaten already? So if it was durabanan, so he has the right to say, I.
It's not a question.
Is there a definition about returning the actual meat versus getting your money back? To me, the getting the money back is the easy part. If you return the meat, then you're giving treif meat back to the shofet.
Yeah, yeah. But you assume that he's a Yerush Shemayim. He's got a hechsher that he's got to deal with. That's a good question. This is a problem.
But that's what he's allowed to eat.
But
he
sold.
No.
Oh, for him it would be a hechsher meruba.
A hechsher meruba. He's allowed to eat it.
For him, it could.
Not at this point.
For him, it could conceivably be a hechsher meruba. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so he could eat it for his own family.
Yeah.
But he would have to segregate it to make sure this is just for my own family, not for Lisa.
Correct. That's what seems to come out from here. And now
he run the risk of inadvertent mistake.
Right. Now the Rekiva Eger disagrees here. He says, "Rak lo bali nefesh amaschir malas v'nayin sham." Ulam mitshuvas Rekiva Eger hanal mavur the gam betavach hamocher, that even the butcher who sells lacherim, right, matirim behefsim ruba, he's allowed to sell behefsim ruba. V'dochik lomer demari below nimsa basar acher. Right. It's difficult to say that it's only if you can't find any other meat in the city, right? The king pshita sheish lahakal. Certainly, you could be making l'shim tzarech atzibur. Amnam havadai tzarech lehudia kedirik samsur. But you still let him know. V'nochem b'chay gavdel hozom atlaniim. And it's okay and it's appropriate in that situation to sell it for cheap to aniim.
They ask you to rely on.
Who?
Wait. So you can sell.
Right. So he is right, but he does. The physical chief is really concluding though that it's not so great. You have to kind of put it in a different category. Which then is like you're getting into a difficult situation. Yeah.
So you're saying you can mark down the meat and sell it to somebody?
That's what he said, yeah. It has to be advertised in that way. You can mark down the meat and advertise. You have to know what it is.
Then it's treif de rabbanan?
No, one of these things that
where
there's
am I advertising?
What? No, we're not used to this. Right, we're not used to this because nowadays you go to a store and you buy something and everything's the same hechsher or whatever. Everything's, depending on what hechsher it is, they're all the same thing. They're not putting these kinds of things out for two reasons. Number one is it's absorbed in the cost of meat, meaning the things that lose out we're paying for with every pound that we pay for, right? And so they just get rid of it. And B, they sell it to non-Jews, right? All these shilas that come up here, right? You know, when I was in Yeshiva, we don't even learn Hilchos Treifos anymore because that's the domain of the Shechting House people. But the what he's describing is the shtetl in 1880, where the job of the rabbi was to sit and bring, people would bring their chickens to him every day. Like, that was his job. And this was a significant issue, right? So this was, and he's judging, you know, this will be machmir, you will be machmir on, you can afford to get another chicken, will be machmir on this shayla, but, you know, you will be make all the shayla. Right, that comes up. Nowadays, an equivalency, it's a little different, might be like a Taras HaMishpacha issue, right? That, for people in a certain situation might come, and you have this situation, we're going to be machmir. Another person might come that has some type of fertility issues, right? And it's within the realm of psak to try to be makel for that particular person because it's a specific situation.
Yeah, right. What is the butcher, you say, selling at a discount? What's the butcher, how is he describing this meat that he's selling at a discount?
So that's a good question. So I'm wondering how the marketing of this, right, so how does the marketing of this work back in the day?
I imagine the shtetl. The butcher knows his customers,
right.
And he goes quietly to right. someone he knows is poor, who has to buy on credit, who's yeah. having trouble, and he says, I have this meat, I can sell it to you, da da da.
Right, I think that's the way it is. Yeah. Now it's still, just from being in the mezuzah business a little bit, people get a little queasy about this, but I think the economics were different during the time of Kinei and Sam Sofer than it is today. I mean, I couldn't see myself selling a Bidi Evan mezuzah to somebody. Say, oh, this one only has a Bidi Evan was rejected by him, I'll sell it to you for much less. Like, I can't imagine someone saying, oh yeah, I'll buy that and put it on my doorway. Like, I don't see that happening. But I think the economics were significantly different during the time of the Pesach Yeshiva. Okay, so that's issue one with regards to what Hefsid Meruba is. It's really difficult to quantify, and you get into some of these interesting little debates. There's one other issue. I wanted to just focus, I didn't make copies of this, but what is considered a minority opinion? Let's do Dalit. Let's look back inside to the Shach here, where he says, right, v'chol zeh shekosfu, all of this that we're writing, hainu bistam, right, aval im timso lepamim od sad heter acher, hein min ashas o shekladas v'chiyotzi b'zeh, yish lasus kefi mashi yira be'enov, that all of this is where you have a simple halacha, and we know what it is. But let's say there's different opinions as to what is good and what is bad. So we have specific opinions that we normally follow, but there's also, we know that there are other opinions. So it's up to the posek sometimes to figure out and say that, we could rely on that position in this particular situation. Therefore, if you find some examples of sometimes where psakim seem to go the other way, it's often because they're doing that. It's often because they're taking an opinion that's often not relied upon and passing in that way. I just wanted to mention the issue with before we continue with that, just to go back to the previous one with regards to selling something for Shabbos Yontiv or Kavod Orchim. So I was wondering, how does the Kavod Orchim thing fit into this? I mean, you're having a guest over, right? You're having a guest over, and so now Behefsim Ru, because I'm having the guest over, I could sell, we'll call it substandard meat, meaning that's one of the heter, meaning it's right before Shabbos, and if I throw out the chicken soup, I'm not going to have chicken soup for Shabbos. Or if I have to throw this out, I'm not going to have something for the guest. Right? Do I have to tell the guest? By the way, under normal circumstances, I would have thrown this in the garbage, but because you're coming, we now have a heter. Right? What does the guest do under those circumstances? And especially because the language, what immediately made me think of this is that the language in the Pesach Mitzvah says, what's a guest? So he says, a guest isn't, and this is a very important hara. I hadn't yet seen it anywhere else. But he says here, what is considered a guest? It's only works for chashuv and special guests. Kagon, bali Torah, or bali shem tov, umaisim tovim. People that are real b'nei Torah, the chassidish rebbes, and those that do exceptionally good acts. Or shirim shiroi l'chavdim, or wealthy people that it's fit to honor them. So wait a second. So those are the people that we're gonna make a lot.
Question. Since the shochet himself could eat that chicken,
yeah.
But he can't sell it. Could it be said in this situation when you have guests, You can use it, but you have to use it for your own family.
No, I don't think that's what he's saying.
The guest though cannot.
No, I don't think that's what he's saying.
Because giving it to the guests.
No, I think what he's saying is that this is an exceptional circumstance. I mean, otherwise, you're not going to have chicken for Shabbos. Otherwise, you're not going to have chicken for the guests. That's the equivalency that he's making. So it sounds like you are going to be giving it to them.
Well, wait. But if you have to have, a certain amount for the entire table.
Yeah.
I mean, can it be that you have to use that chicken for your own family?
No, I don't believe that's what he's saying. I don't believe that's what he's saying.
But the shochet can use.
No, I understand. It's a different idea. The shochet is because it's efsim ruba for you, but you don't have the right to put it on somebody else.
Well, isn't that the same?
No, but here he's your guest. Because he's your guest, it's your responsibility. Yes, almost. In a way, you'd say he's part of the family already at that point. And if you don't feed it to him, right? If you don't have this available, he's not going to eat. You're not going to be able to fulfill your mitzvah. You're not going to be able to have Shabbos appropriately. You're not going to have Yom Tov appropriately. You're not going to have them do Achnasas Orchim appropriately. So therefore, there is this heter to then provide for that guest. It's just interesting that everything all of a sudden gets flipped. That the guest that we're talking about is somebody who's special and chashev, etc., and they're the ones that you're going to. Now, do you have to tell them? The Chassam Sofer, right, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger said you have to tell the guy who's buying it. You have to tell them? Presumably not. Presumably you don't have to tell them, right? They're under your responsibility. They're part of your family. It sounds like you would not have to tell them. So I would distinguish in terms of guests here, Rabbi Rosenblatt, who was here Friday morning, actually. So he made, I think, a very interesting ha'ara, and I don't think I've ever actually seen it inside, but I think it makes a lot of people ask when they're in the year of Avelis, right? So what's the story with guests for Avelis? Are we still allowed to have families over? So we say whatever we say in order to figure that. I mean, in terms of that, quite what they usually are talking about are having my friends over. Can I still have friends over during the year of Avelis? So that's discussed in Shulchan Aruch. And Shulchan Aruch talks about having parties and what that's supposed to look like or not supposed to look like. And I give whatever eights I give there. But Rosenblatt used to point out, though, that's not Orchim, right? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about Hachnasas Orchim during Avelis. Hachnasas Orchim is when you have a guest who has no place to go. When you have somebody who really doesn't have a place for a meal or someplace who's really going through town and whatever it is needs a place for Shabbos, things like that, that's real Hachnasas Orchim. Shulchan Aruch doesn't put any restrictions on that. They're putting restrictions on parties in your house, right? And that's an important a distinction when we talk, this person does a lot of Hachnasas Orchim. Are they inviting just their friends over all the time? Or are they inviting, you know, real people who need places to eat? Things like that. All right, maybe we'll stop here. We'll pick up with this Cousin Nation or Moshe next time. Yeah.
I mean, here the guests are not necessarily poor people. It sounds like only important people.